to the Michael Smirkanish Program.
Refreshingly independent politics.
Exclusively on SiriusXM's POTUS,
Channel 124.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Stuck in the middle with you.
Now, here's Michael Smirkanish.
When you're at Smirkanish.com today voting on the survey question that pertains to the posting of social media comments on news sites, make sure that you're reading our exclusive content today, which is headed by Rich Tao. You remember Rich? He's the president of Engages. Rich Tao is the individual who has conducted all of those swing voter focus groups all across the country and then would regale us with what he learned. Well, he's just done another of them, and he writes about it at the website today under the headline, Trump Biden Swing Voters Give GOP a Mulligan. Hey, Rich, thank you so much for coming back to the program and also for penning your thoughts for my website. I really appreciate it.
Honored to do it, Michael.
So who were the people that you gathered, and when did you do this?
So unlike the groups we did in 2019 and 2020 that were Obama to Trump voters, the groups we're doing this year, and the first one that we did was on January 21st, were Trump to Biden voters, people who voted Trump in 16 and Biden in 20 across seven different key swing states.
So you're going to continue this practice throughout the course of the year? In other words, this is the way Engages will operate in 2021?
This is part of the work we're doing in 2021, yes. Every month we're going to go out and do groups of Trump to Biden voters throughout the year.
So give us the takeaways. What did you learn from those who had voted for Trump in 2016 but Joe Biden in 2020?
Well, as I wrote for Smirkanish.com today, the thing that stuck out for me more than anything else was their willingness to see daylight between Donald Trump and the rest of the Republican Party. Nearly all these folks said that while they had no use for Donald Trump, they voted against him. They didn't vote for Biden, by the way. They voted against Trump mostly. They didn't hold that same type of animus against the Republican Party. They said things like, I usually vote for who the best candidate is. One person, meaning Trump, can't ruin the whole party. I'm not going to hold a grudge over one person's mistakes, said someone else. I wouldn't shut them down just because they're Republicans. So there's a real willingness to vote for a Republican for Senate or for House next year. And they're not going to see that Donald Trump casts a pall over the entire party.
You know what's fortuitous? The timing of this is so great that you've just had these interactions, because NPR has a story today also posted on my website about Republicans fleeing the GOP. Quote, in the week from January 6th through January 12th, about 4,600 Republicans changed their party status in Colorado. According to a CPR analysis, there was no comparable effect on any other party, yada, yada, yada. The number of people changing parties spiked immediately after the Capitol breach. The same phenomenon is playing out nationwide. News outlets documented 6,000 defections in North Carolina, 10,000 in Pennsylvania, 5,000 in Arizona. But the people that you were interacting with, they're not leaving the party, at least not yet.
Yeah, and not all of them necessarily were Republicans, Michael. Some of these were Democrats who voted Trump in 16, then voted Biden. So this wasn't as though I had all Republicans in this session. It was a mix.
But what's interesting to me, Rich, is that the Republican Party has been so supportive of Trump. What was the number in terms of House members who were on his side in the January 6th vote on the Electoral College? I think it was 147. You had 45 of 50 of them stand with Rand Paul in opposing this upcoming Senate trial. But somehow the people that you interacted with are not viewing them as one in the same.
No, they're not. And just to give you a little insight, Michael, you know, I'm always asking questions, not just about what people believe, but what they know. So
right.
I asked them whether they had ever heard of Josh Hawley. Only three of the 13 knew who Josh Hawley was.
Yeah, you've referred to these in the past as low information voters.
Yeah, and by the way, all 13 of them knew who Ted Cruz was, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, again, it's episodic. They get their news here, but they don't get it there. They don't see the full picture. They're not consuming news necessarily as much as you and I are. So we have to be mindful that, you know, while there's a lot of people who wish, among Democrats in particular, that Trump was the shadow that will doom the party for the next 4 years, the Republican Party for the next 4 years, from these voters' perspective, it's like, yeah, Trump is one person. He's responsible for what he did. They didn't like it. But they're not willing to say that the sins of the former president belong upon the entire party. And that to me was so telling and was really profound. And you know, the other thing I'd say about this also is that 9 of these 13 people feel so strongly against President Trump that they would bar him from ever being able to run for president again. This isn't sort of like a passive kind of, yeah, I don't like him very much. They said the most horrific things about Trump during the course of these focus groups. So when they turned on him, I would say, aggressively. It wasn't
what was the,
some sort of...
What was the break point? What pushed them over the edge on Trump? Was it the pandemic?
No, it wasn't for most of them. I had asked them who they would have voted for on March 1st of last year, before the pandemic had started in earnest in the United States. And 10 of the 13 said they would have voted for Biden at that point. They had gotten sick of Trump, some of them, as early as 2017. One guy said it was because of Charlottesville. Another one cited the large amount of turnover in the Trump administration. A number of them just didn't like his tone and how he spoke to people. What was interesting, too, Michael, was a number of them said things to me like they couldn't have foreseen his behavior in office. Basically, what they saw on the campaign trail, they thought, oh, this is kind of just the way he is on the campaign trail. He'll be more presidential. He'll behave himself. And I really push back on them. If you watch some of the video from the focus group, which is at swingvoterproject.com, you'll see some of these exchanges. And they were all pleading ignorance, like, oh, we didn't know it was going to be this bad. We didn't know he was going to behave this way. And so when he got into office and behaved as president, basically as he behaved on the campaign trail, some of them were really troubled by that, and that's when he lost them. But it was well before the pandemic.
As we've told people in the past, the value of what you do is that it's qualitative information. It's not necessarily quantitative because, after all, it's a very small sample, but you get to spend some quality time with them and perhaps see trends. And what you're seeing is that a lot of those who abandoned Trump are not necessarily abandoning the GOP and not holding the GOP accountable for Trump, which I really find curious, given what's going on, thinking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, thinking about the upcoming impeachment trial. I wonder if you're onto something here that others have not yet seen.
Yeah, the theme to me is that they see each person responsible for himself or herself. They don't
right.
see a leader as symbolic of something larger. I mean, the other thing I'll tell you is this. When I asked who is most responsible for the riots on January 6th, only 4 of them blame Trump. Most of them blame the rioters. They're like, well, the rioters are the ones who came to D.C. They're the ones who stormed the Capitol. You can't necessarily blame Trump for the fact that they did it. They have their own ability to make a decision. They didn't like that they stormed the Capitol, but they said it was those rioters' responsibility, not the president. So it
did you
really
give them
a,
did you give them did you give an option of both?
Well, I didn't. I think maybe one person said both when I gave the list of who the possible
right
people were. But that, you know, for most of them, it was pretty clear that if you came to D.C. from elsewhere and you stormed the Capitol, you were responsible for that.
Well,
it was on you primarily.
You are leading to my favorite story of the day, and I'm going to keep you here while I share it. It's this, also posted on the website, a CNN investigation. Let me read a couple of paragraphs, Rich, and you can respond. They were there to stop the steal and to keep the president they revered in office, yet records show that some of the rioters who stormed the U.S. Capitol did not vote in the very election they were protesting. One was Donovan Crowell, ex-Marine who charged toward a Capitol entrance in paramilitary garb on January 6 as the pro-Trump crowd chanted, "Who's our president?" Federal authorities later identified this 50-year-old as a member of a self-styled militia organization in his home state of Ohio and affiliated with the extremist group the Oath Keepers. His mother told CNN that he previously told her, quote, "they were going to overtake the government if they tried to take Trump's presidency from him." despite these apparent pro-Trump views, a county election official in Ohio, I love that this investigation was done, this is genius, told CNN that he registered in 2013 but never voted nor responded to any of our confirmation notices to keep him registered, so he was removed from the voter rolls at the end of 2020. Further along in the story, it says this: at least eight of the people who are now facing criminal charges for their involvement in the events at the Capitol did not vote in the November 2020 election. Does that surprise you, Rich Tao?
Well, Michael, some people engage civically by voting. Others engage civically by doing things that are a lot worse. That's my takeaway.
I just find it incredible that they, such is their motivation. I frankly just think that it belies their whole argument. They care so much about the country that they didn't even vote.
Exactly.
Instead, they want to, you know, they want to raise hell on a particular day. Hey, Rich. Sum up, give me the takeaway. You just spent time with people who voted for Donald Trump in 2016, Joe Biden in 2020. What do the rest of us most need to know about their mindset?
The other thing I'd say you need to know about their mindset is that they were relieved and hopeful when they saw Joe Biden being sworn in. That for them, it was the end of a lot of discomfort. The greatest thing that Joe Biden did for them was basically just be able to be Trump. It wasn't out of enthusiasm for Biden. It was out of relief that they just had four more years of Trump than they could take. And for them, it was a relief.
But they are not done with the GOP.
They are not done with the GOP. That's mm-hmm. the thing I think is important. And by the way, we're going back into the field a week from Tuesday. A week from today, and we are going to be asking all about Marjorie Taylor Greene and Liz Cheney and their views of the GOP. I'm curious to see whether this evolves at all over the course of the year, whether people in this group start to think maybe a little bit more about the GOP, who's leading it and who's the spokesman for it.
Well, and we'll also be in the midst, if the schedule holds, we'll also be in the midst of an impeachment trial. So you'll come back, I hope, and tell us about that.
We'd be honored to do it.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate your work. Richard Tao is the president of Engages, and you should read at Smirkanish.com what he has penned about his latest trip into the field. Well, he's doing it virtually these days.